Last week we talked about the conditions of our hearts, that makes a difference on what we hear and what we're able to hear just by the condition of our heart, the soil of our heart, to be good ground. But you know, it's sad there are so many churches that believe and teach, and these are Christians now, that believe and teach that God doesn't speak anymore other than through His Bible, other than through His Word. That's the only way He speaks. Everything else is dead and gone, that you got to get it from the Word or you don't get it at all. Well, that can't be true, because even back when the Bible was written, they didn't have the Bible. That God had to communicate with them. God had to speak to them before the Bible was collated together and put into what we know now as our modern Bible. But they really believe it. But you need to know this to be truth, that here we believe that our God still speaks and that we can hear Him. We believe our God still speaks and that we can hear God. We can hear Him. He can guide us. He can lead us. He can be involved in our everyday life. And if you need to know that, and you need to believe that. This week I want to give you some why and how God talks to us. Next week, again, don't miss, because I'm going to give you some filters, some guides to be able to lay what you feel God's telling you and leading you against the Word and against some filters, so you know it's God and not just the pizza you ate last night. So you know, so we can discern what is God, because the devil will try to imitate. He can't do it, but he will try to get you to listen to voices that are not of God, to tell you things that are not God, and get you to believe things that simply aren't biblical.
You begin to question, he gets you to question God because you can't decide if what you're hearing is God, when God's really trying to communicate with you.
So why don't we jump into our scripture for this series in John chapter 10, verse 3. And it says, the gatekeeper opens the door for him, and the sheep do what? Listen to his voice, and he calls his sheep by what? By name. Verse 4. When he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know his voice. But they will never allow a stranger, or competing voices, or follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. I highlighted three separate things in that series of scripture this time, that we listen to his voice, that he calls his sheep by name, and that we know his voice. These three things specifically tell us, and tell, if you read it in context, that not only does God speak to us, he speaks specifically to us as individuals. Because again, there's another group of maybe well-meaning Christians. I don't really know where they get their theology from. But they say God doesn't speak to us individually anymore. He only speaks to us as a group, as his people, through his word. So everything's in generalities. Well, that doesn't jive with the God that I know in the Bible that I read, because the Bible tells me that he knew me before I was ever even in my mother's womb, that he knows the count of every hair on my head, that he knows me into my innermost parts, is what David writes. Well, then how does he not know me individually? Why would he not speak to me individually? So it's not just that God does speak to us as a corporate body. God does speak to us in a general sense, but he also speaks very distinctly to me, to you as a person. That he not only wants to do that, but when he calls you by name, that you can know that voice that's calling you by name. That in turn, he goes on to say that the Bible, or John says, that we can even sort through these other voices. Well, we need to know that God is not, nor will he ever be, distant. He will never be the Bette Midler God. He's watching us from a distance. That's not the God we serve. That's not who he is. He always will be here, close and personal. You may know this and recognize this scripture from Christmas. So look what the Bible says in Matthew. It says that the virgin, remember this, will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. In other words, this was their version of a nickname. And Emmanuel meant now that God was what? With us. He's not just watching over us. The Bible says he's with us. So if he's with us, why does he speak to us? If he does speak to us, not just in general terms as a body, and he speaks to us as individual, why? Well, based on the understanding that he's a God that's closer, he's a God that's near, not a God that's far and that just, you know, keeps us at arm's length and is that big bad God on the throne that just wants nothing to do with us. But he is a close God. He is an intimate God. I'm going to give you a few. The first one is God speaks to facilitate friendship. That's a fancy word for get to know you. Melanie and I never would have made it to the place where we could even much less go out or date it or whatever your progress is, you know, in your courtship to find your husband or your wife or however that happened, unless you get to know them. One of the craziest things, and Melanie watched this show, and I came in on her. She was watching the show, and I said, "What are you watching?" She goes, "You get married without knowing the person. What's it called?" There's a show on TV. These people are getting blindly married. They let somebody else, their family, whoever, pick, and they show up, and the first time they see their husband or wife is standing at the end of the altar, the other end of whatever building that, you know. Can you imagine? That, I mean, playing the lotto is one thing. But going and say, "Yeah, I'll get married." Well, who? Well, I don't know. I'm just going to open this door and find out. See, the way that friendship happens, the way that you get to know somebody is begin by talking and speaking and communicating and sharing life and figuring out what they like and what they don't like and the things you have in common. But see, God being a friend is hard for some of us because we've been taught, or maybe your experience tells you, that God's a bully or that God is not a good father or a good friend. He stands at a distance and lets all this bad stuff happen to me. Or maybe you've had bad experience with other Christians and they just kind of turned you off from God altogether. But you need to know that God is a friend. The Bible even says clearly in Exodus, as he spoke to Moses in Exodus 33:11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as somebody speaks to a what? A friend. That when, I don't know about you, but it's one of my pet peeves, and unfortunately I think in the generations that are following my generation, it's something, especially probably due to cell phones. But you want to aggravate me, or if I've had to do over the years interviews and interview people, you know, you make eye contact, right? I don't sit across the desk or in an interview and you're, you know, looking away or playing with your phone, or that's going to go bad quickly. Because it says to me that I'm not important, or that what we're talking about is not important. And that when you get to know somebody, there's a friendship, and that friendship is because I'm looking you in the eye face to face. I'm seeing what you care about. I'm interacting with you. You see, when you pray to God, when you talk to God, it should be like talking to a friend, someone you're close to. And let me put a lot of us at ease, especially here in the South. God does not need you to sound smart. God does not need you to teach him vocabulary. God does not need you to speak King James English to understand you. You don't speak King James English. For those of you who grew up in the South, we speak Southern. It's its own version of English. We don't, you know, when I lived in California, I would walk into a grocery store and order something, and two words. They would say, "Hello, how are you?" And I'd say, "Good, how are you?" And they, "You're not from here, are you?" "Well, no." And then they would hear my Southern drawl, and in California, it was like gold mine. You could get anything you want with a Southern drawl because they just thought it was so cool. Now, when Melanie moved here from California, she didn't get the same response. So they would go, "You're not from here, are you?" She'd go, "No, I'm from California." And they say, well, she would ask them, "Well, how can you tell?" "Because you talk too fast. You go to California and they talk in they got like a sixth gear. And the world is just that fast." You see, that's not us. You don't have to be somebody else to talk to God. We live in the South. We have our own words. We don't say whithersoever or these and thous. I've never gone to the bank and said, "Hey, I got a question. Which one do I use?" And the bank lady go, "Well, whithersoever or thou should usest." No. If that happens at the bank, we're going to be staring through the window at the lady like, "What's wrong with you?" Right? So why do we do that to God? I have some of my friends that I eat lunch with during the week, and they go to other churches, and I always laugh at them because I say, "Okay, guess what? You're praying today." And then they panic, and then they bow their head to take off their hat, and then suddenly this good old Georgia redneck turns into Louis IV, you know, King James English. I'm like, and I look at him like, what are you doing? Just say, God, thank you for this food. Bless it. We love you. Amen. And they can't do it. It's just they struggle to say those words without being official. God doesn't need you smart. He created you. He don't need you to sound different than you are. He created you. Be who you are. Don't try to sound different to God. God also speaks to give us guidance. The bottom line is that God can see things coming that we can't. That we can't foresee. Trouble comes when God leads us away. And God begins to move us. But let me tell you this, real trouble comes when God begins to lead us away from something we want to do or that we feel like is the right thing to do. This one's not in your notes, but I threw it up on the screen for you because I truly believe this, and I've always said this, that true obedience happens when authority says no. It's easy to agree with your authority or agree with God. He says, hey, I want you to go do this or I want you to go do that, and you feel the same way. But it's a whole different story when the guidance of God, when God speaks to you and he begins to guide you away from what you want to do, right? That's the true test. People will tell me, yeah, I'm under authority and I have authority. Well, that is good and all well, but it doesn't play to be totally true with me until the authority says no or contrary to what you believe. So God speaks to us to give us guidance. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 that we're to listen for God's voice in everything we do. We used a scripture last week. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will what? Keep you on track. The next one, the Bible says God speaks to us to provide perspective. He describes things, and he speaks to us to see things how he sees things. Because you need to understand this. What we see here, the flesh and blood, the chairs, the carpet, the lights, the building, the cars in the parking lot, the things you see here physically, is not all there is. The Bible is very clear. There is a realm, there is something else that we can't necessarily see unless God enables us to see it. There is a spiritual realm. There's things going on. The Bible says that there's a war going on, that Satan's fighting against us and that God is fighting for us. I think really, honestly, that the reason God doesn't open that up to us to physically see, and he has, and I've known people that have said, I've seen, you know, God's allowed me to see people that I trust. But I think if he were to really open it up and say, okay, here's what's really going on, we would just freak out. Because I believe that God is as good as he is, but I also believe that the devil is as bad as the Bible says he is. And if that's true, then the devil's constantly coming after us, constantly coming at us. I believe God blocks and protects us, that we maybe have been on the verge of having an accident that we don't ever know about because God cuts it off from us. Or that something's about to happen that God doesn't want to happen, so he puts a stop to it. But see, the Bible says that God talks to us to give us perspective, that there is something else going out. There is a natural and a supernatural. You got to understand this. God sees outside of the natural. We're limited by the natural. If we walk outside, you can only see so far. We can't see through things. We can't see what's coming around the corner, but the Bible says that God, through him being supernatural, can. And he sees and he guides us. This is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5. This is out of the New King James. This is why we say this. For we walk by faith and not by sight. There has to be a faith in us that listens to God. He will say, hey, before you take that next step, I need to give you some perspective. Here's what's going on. Parents, sometimes what's going on in your kid's life is not just a physical thing. And we see, I'm telling you, if you've known me for very long, especially with Emma, I'm very honest. And I'm going to tell you, there are times as we have raised Emma and dealt with Emma that just get trying. I know we both look like we're super spiritual and we got it all together, but you want to see some carnality and flesh, come to our house about 5, 6 o'clock after Emma's had a rough day. And those of you who ever work with special needs kids understand. And it gets to the place where there's going to be one of us or maybe two of us outside in the yard and the rest of us inside the house. Sometimes it's, we have to just go out back and take a breath and leave Emma to herself, or sometimes it makes me want to just lock her up in the, with the chickens out back. It just, you just start getting frazzled and you begin to think to yourself, why is this happening? Why is she acting this way? And there have been times where I just felt prompted, you know, God just kind of stopped me and pricked my heart, and I thought, well, I wonder if something's going on. And then suddenly I began to find out that she had been exposed to maybe some TV show or something spiritual that we just don't allow in our house. And I think, oh, okay, I get it now. And we began to just talk with her about God and talk with her about the peace of Jesus and what's good and what's godly, and you can kind of see her come back. So everything that's going on is not necessarily in the natural. It could be supernatural. And the Bible says that God gives us perspective, that we walk by this faith, that I respond to what I hear God say versus what I see the world do. A lot of us, our perspective is only from the world and not from God, not from His perspective. Now that's some of the whys. So what does it look like when God speaks to us? Again, I'll give you some of the filters next week. But I wanted to give you an exhaustive list. Like, really, I've come up with, and through the years, I have a list of about 12 ways that I think God speaks or communicates to us. The Bible says of God that he can be loud and thunderous voice. He speaks through His Word. I believe He speaks through what some people call the fivefold ministry, through pastors, teachers, evangelists. That there are people who are prophetic. They are a prop. God enables them to kind of see what's coming and warn us and speak to our lives that way. But then I kind of backed up and I felt like, I think if we could just kind of clear the playing field for a minute and just grab a hold of one, instead of trying to teach you the whole playbook in one sermon, I just want to give you one. And it's the one that I think God does the most. It's the one that I think that God is doing all the time and that we miss. Routinely we miss. It's the most common. And the problem is that I think we just don't recognize it. And that is what's on your notes, the whisper of God. Look what the Bible says in 1 Kings 19. This is the story of Elijah. And Elijah's running for his life. Jezebel says, listen, go get him, kill him, take him out. He's made me embarrass me. He's made me look bad. Go get him. Elijah finds himself in the cave, and this is what begins to happen. God begins to talk to him. He says, go out and stand before me on the mountain. And Elijah stood there, and the Lord passed by in a mighty windstorm. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn torn loose. But what? The Lord was not in the wind. Notice it doesn't say he can't be in the wind. It just says he was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was what? Not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Now notice it says again that he can't be. It's not that he can't be. He just says he wasn't. Because there's all kinds of scripture where God showed up and did some cool stuff with fire. All through the Old Testament. But look what it says here. It says, and after the fire, there was the sound of what? A gentle whisper. And then, I didn't put it in your notes, but I'll give you the beginning of verse 13. Look what the Bible says in verse 13. When Elijah heard it, what happened? He did something. He took his cloak, he went. See, if we can just begin our 2018 just following those whispers of God. Now, I do believe that when you get, and I've seen it in my life, and that when I get close to making a bad decision or danger, I can't say I've heard the audible voice of God, but I've heard God screaming at me. Like, stop, don't, wait, stop, you know, or giving me instruction. And He will. But if we can just learn to respond to the whisper of God, it'll be a big thing for us in 2018. When we go through our restart week and you begin to pray if you can just tune your ear. That's what the whole title of the series is, the frequency. We begin to cut through the clutter and just begin to listen to the whisper of God. That gentle voice, that voice that Elijah... Now, I want you to put this in perspective. Elijah was in a cave fighting for his life. And then God says, go out, I want to come see you. And then God sends a mighty wind that tears rocks off the cave. He sends an earthquake, and then he sends fire. And then the Bible says he was in the gentle whisper. So Elijah's atmosphere was not calm. It was not where he could just sit here quietly and just listen for the whisper. He was able to hear God through all this chaos that was going on around him, not to mention this army that was coming to kill him. So if God whispers, what kind of things does he whisper? And I want to give you some things to begin to listen for, to begin to look out for, that I'm telling you is God, and he's doing it probably even now. The first one is, he whispers encouragement. God whispers encouragement. He's constantly reminding us, keep going. I believe in you. I'm fighting for you. You're mine. You're my son. You're my daughter. I believe in you. The Bible even tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, that for his spirit with our spirit joins to affirm that what? We are God's children. We are his children. And some of you, that's a hard thing to swallow, but you need to know that. God's whispering in your ear, I love you, I'm for you, I'm not against you. He knows what you've done and even maybe have done last night. And yet he still whispers, he still reaffirms, he still says this to you. He still says, this is on your next slide, he says that you are my child. I created you. He's telling you that I love you. I had a friend years ago that struggled with this idea that God loved him because in a fit of rage, in a fit of anger, he lost a family member to cancer. He lost a friend that did stab him in the back. And in a fit of rage, he looked up at God and says, you don't love me and I don't love you either. And then he kind of came down from that anger and the guilt and the shame of actually pointing at God and saying, God, I don't love you and you don't love me either, made it so hard for him to really receive that God still loved him. When you could point your finger in God's face and go, I hate you, I don't love you, and that God still says, well, that's okay, because I love you anyway. That God's whispering that to us. Some of you struggle with this one, that God would say to you, I'm proud of you. You've done good. I love to watch Mabel, my 8-year-old, soon next week to be 9-year-old, and when you tell her, you did great. Now, this is a little girl who brings home straight A's, who's smarter than I am. When she was born, I became the third smartest person in my house, behind her and Melanie. But she still, even though she's always doing good, she's driven to please. But when you tell her, I am so proud of you, that was awesome, her little face just lights up. And she just grins from ear to ear. At night when I make special attention for Mabel, sometimes she can get lost in the shuffle of Emma and our family, and so I make special attention to go in there with her at night and just kind of tell her these things. You know, I love you. I'm excited for you. And then she'll be reading the book, and I'll have her read the book to me and have her tell me words that there's no way this third grader should be able to read a word that's that long and tell me what it means, and she just goes right through it. That was awesome. You may never use that word in your life. That's a really kind of a useless word, but you did it right. I'm proud of you. And you're going to go to college, and they're going to tell you all these big words that you'll never use again, but guess what? I'll be proud of you then too. And it just makes her light up. He whispers encouragement. You need to know that God looks through the lens of Jesus. So that means he doesn't see the crap that you're in. He sees the blood that you're covered under. And for some of us, we need to grab a hold of that. You could have been in the nasty, dirty, doing some awful things last night, but God doesn't see you there. God sees you through the lens of Jesus and what you can become. How stupid would it be if I looked at Mabel and, you'll always be my 9-year-old. That's all you're ever going to be is a 9-year-old. No, I don't know where God's taking her, but I know she's got big things in front of her. Not just because she's smart, but because she's a child of God. And God's got some big things for her. I have to teach myself to see as a father how God sees her with all this great thing, great stuff, these great decisions, these great jobs, this great, who knows, ministry in front of her. I don't know. We'll see one day that God looks through this lens of what you are in Him, not where you are or what you're doing now. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 53 in the Message. It says, pay attention, come close now, and do what? Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. And it goes on to say, I'm making a commitment with you, a lifelong covenant with you. I'm not going anywhere. And those things that I'm proud of you, I love you, will never change. Honestly, this is my goal every Sunday. I know you have to naturally listen to my words or listen to Cam's words or whoever's speaking or Melanie up here. But even as I pray through the months and weeks and we kind of lay out the services and who's going to get what Sunday and what's going on, my heart is that you find these two things, that you get life-giving and life-nourishing words. I hope you don't come here. If you come here and you leave here feeling guilty because you messed up last night, or you don't come here, or people won't come because they feel guilty, we're doing something wrong. God encourages us. God speaks in the whisper of encouragement. You got to know that God's for you, not against you. You got to know that even if you have an addiction problem, even if you have sin in your life, even if you're struggling with issues of hate and anger or lust or whatever it is, God's not against you. There's this idea that God wants to mash you and squish you like a bug and rub you in the dirt and then kind of bring you out of it. That's not what the Bible teaches. And that is the reason that a lot of us don't hear God, because we're afraid if we hear God, He's going to get us. And he's gonna mess us up. He's going to break my arm or crash my truck or tear up my stuff to try to get me in line. And that's just not God. The second thing God whispers is He whispers warnings. He tells us, and I truly believe, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't marry that person. I know they're pretty, or I know he's cute, or I know he's handsome, or I know he's got a nice car, or they got this, they got that. Don't do it. And I'm going to tell you, I've experienced it in my life. And I don't mind sharing it, because nothing that obviously Melanie and I haven't talked through. When I was in my undergrad, I met a girl who came to my college group. I was running a college group for the church. This girl came. She was a third-year med student, and I was a junior in college. We just hit it off. It just worked, and we got to a place. Again, how do you get to know somebody? You begin to hang out. You begin to find out what they like, what they don't like. And we got to a place after several months that I realized that we need to make a decision. That God's either leading us on in this relationship, or we just need to call it friends and just move on. And so I stopped her one day, and I had heard God was just pounding on me. You need to talk to her. You need to talk. So I just stopped her one day on the way out the door. I said, why don't we just take a week and pray and see what God says? A good godly thing to do, right? Well, God, what was happening is God was warning me. And when I said that, I never saw her again. We went out for 6 months. In the most godly fashion in college group and church. And we went to church together and we dated. And I said, listen, let's just figure out where our next step is. And I never saw her again. I think God, that was His way of warning me, because He knew I was never going to. I mean, in the natural, I had everything I could have wanted. She was going to be a doctor. I mean, who wouldn't want your wife to be a doctor, make all that kind of money? My thinking was, I could do whatever I want to. I think God knew me well enough to go, I'm trying to warn you, but this is the only way it's going to happen. And I never saw her again. And God just kind of put an end to it. It's a strange, it made me think about this. There's a strange word we have in the South. Again, we don't speak King James English. But anybody ever have a mom or a dad or a grandma, when you were going to do something, they didn't speak a word, they go, argh! Some of y'all are laughing because you do. I do that to my girls. They, you know, see them sneaking in or do something. I don't say, no, please don't do that. I just go, eh. And if you do it again, you get the, right? I had a friend, one of my best friends growing up, and we always picked at each other because he was black, obviously I'm white, and so I would go to his family, and his mom was the stereotypical, she was a large black woman, and we'd come around the corner running to go do something, and we'd hear, ah! And we'd turn back around and go right back. She would never speak a word, she would just grunt at us. And she's, I think God knows us well, I think sometimes he's just grunting at us. He's just telling us, he's speaking to us warning. He's whispering a warning. Don't do that. I just think he's, instead of the full volume, he's starting to, don't do that. Stop. He's whispering to us. And it got me thinking further about, there's this, I grew up in a non-denominational charismatic church, and there's this, you hear charismatics say they had a check in their spirit. I don't even know really where we got the term from. It's not necessarily in the Bible in that terminology, but it's that pause. I tell people when I'm teaching them to listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to God, sometimes you got an itch. Like it's just, you can't get comfortable with the situation or what's going on. A lot of times that's God. More often than not, that's God. That something's not right. It's that thing that says, hey, at least stop and listen for some wisdom. At least stop and give me an opportunity to tell you no, or to tell you to go, or to tell you to turn left, or turn right, or buy this, or don't buy this. It's this warning. Look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 6. This is Paul, the great apostle Paul. It says, now when they had gone through Pyrgia and the region of Galatia, they were what? Forbidden. You'd think this would be like forbidden, don't go to Hooters and get chicken wings. That looks bad. Don't do that. No, it says forbidden by the Holy Spirit to do what? To preach. Here's God whispering, hey, warn them. Hey, don't go in there. I got perspective. You don't. I see things you don't. Don't go in there. And not only did it happen then, look at the next verse. It happens again. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, whatever it is. But the Spirit didn't what? Notice that capital S. God said, nuh-uh, don't go in there. I'm warning you, don't go in there. Now, let me stop right here and just put a little rabbit trail in for you, a little asterisk in here. There are a lot of us who have blown right through these warnings, and you may be sitting here today. I was teaching this one time, and I had a lady go, yeah, I blew through the warning. I said, really? She goes, yeah, you're sitting right here. And she was dead serious. And I said, really, how long y'all been married? She said, oh, 35 years. And I told her, I made the joke, but I was serious. See what God's grace and mercy can do? You blew it, and he redeemed it. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of you who are dealing with things that you blew right through these warnings. God said, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't put your foot there. Don't open that door. Don't mess with that. And you've blown right through it, and you're dealing with the physical consequences or the sin consequences of it now. The Bible says that God sees Jesus, not you. That when you come to God, you say, God, forgive me, that those sins are pushed away from you. See, when you understand that, now you can begin again to listen to the warnings of God. Begin again to listen to the whisper of God. Look what Isaiah 30 says. In verse 21, it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, in other words, no matter where you go, what's going to happen? You're going to hear a voice behind you saying what? This is the way to go. Notice it's behind you. Because if it's behind you, you're going what? The wrong way. Because our verse in John tells us what? That he leads us. Well, if he's leading you and he's behind you, you're not following him. But the grace and mercy of God says, listen, I'm going to turn around and whisper to you, hey, go this way. Come on, don't go this way. Not that way, this way. I think that'd be a better place for an amen right there. I mean, really, think of all the warnings you've blown through, all the voices, the whispers of God that you've just wasted and blown through, and God's still going, hey, I'm going to still tell you the right way. Because when you give the Holy Spirit room or space to speak into your life, you give God that space, he'll warn you. This one's on the next slide. He'll say, hey, don't do it. Maybe God's telling you right now. Some of us are looking for answers as we begin 2018 and looking for some things we need to make decisions on. He might just be whispering, don't do it. For some of us, he could be whispering, hey, you need to end the secret. The stuff that nobody knows, you need to find somebody in the church you can trust. Find somebody in your grow group. Find, you know, go to God and end the secret. Because the truth is, it's not a secret with God because he already knows. Or maybe he's telling you, hey, just get help. And I put this underneath it for you. Because God will help you, but more often than not, he's going to use his people to do it. That's why we do grow groups. Grow groups will start back in the 1st of February into January. That's why we do those, because that's how God helps people. He helps you through somebody else's strength and lets your strength help somebody else. Get help. The third one. He whispers direction. There's a man in the New Testament called Simeon who was waited outside the synagogue because he knew God had told him that the Messiah was going to come. And when Jesus came and Mary and Joseph were bringing Jesus to the synagogue, because that was part of the law, you had to report to the synagogue and present the child. Look what the Bible says in Luke 2:27. It said, moved by the Spirit, he did what? He went. Moved by the Spirit, he went. That he whispered direction. He whispered direction to Simeon. And probably a lot of you now are looking for some direction from God. You're facing big decisions. Decisions maybe we have to face every year. But here, God's whispering direction. This is why we tell you, we have the bracelets. If you've not gotten one, I encourage you just to get one. The black bracelets, so they just say pray first. Because God, he whispers directions if we'll just stop and ask him. Before you make a big decision, before you make a big purchase, before you make, you know, a big life-changing decision, pray first. And if I'm honest, this aggravates me. Because there is part of my nature, I'm fiscally responsible, I'm money responsible, but I think, okay, I got the money, let's go buy it. We'll save, we've saved up to buy furniture or buy whatever it is. Okay, we got it. I see it. Let's buy it. See, Melanie's not that way. And it drives me nuts. If we got the money, this is the one we want. Yes, this is the one we want. Let's buy it. Nope, we're going to wait. We got money. This is the one we want. Yes, that's the one we want. Okay, I'm going to order it. No, don't order it yet. And what she's doing is her patience is giving God a chance to pray first. I don't want to pray first. I want to purchase first. If I had bracelets, it would say, buy now, pray later. But my bracelet has to say, pray first, because it's just, I have to remind myself. I want to go, she'll wait. I want to go, she'll wait. And then inevitably, we wait, and then the next day the price drops, and we get it for cheaper, or they recall it or something. Because God's given us directions, and we prayed first and listened. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, this is Paul writing, I'm going to Jerusalem. So God's compelling him to go. But here's the thing that is kind of, this is faith here. I'm going to Jerusalem, what? Not even knowing what's going to happen to me. There comes that authority, that listening to God, even when he's telling you to go away, you're not sure of, or maybe you wanted to go the other way. Paul responded even not knowing what he was walking into. So maybe as God is whispering direction to you, maybe he's whispering to you, slow down. There's some things in your life you just need to slow down. You're going way too fast. You're going to make a mistake. You've got too much going on. You're working too many hours. You're doing whatever you're doing. Slow down. Then again, there may be some things that God says to you, listen, you need to speed up. The time's running short with the things going on in the world today, even internationally with Israel and moving to Jerusalem and all the stuff going on. I can't say in my mind that all the boxes have been checked, but pretty much they have. But there's not much. I think Jesus has got one one foot ready to go, waiting on God to go, okay, go. Jesus could come back anytime. So there's some things in our life maybe we just need to speed up and get serious about. Serious about God, serious about praying through 2018 and coming to the restart and letting God begin to speak to us and lead us and guide us, learning to tune His voice in and listen. Or maybe God's telling you to take your one step. There are a lot of you, and I know we've got people traveling today, there are a lot of you who are not on a dream team, and you need to be. We've got a lot going on in kids and nursery and ushers and greeters. We've got the coffee that you enjoyed didn't make itself this morning. The coffee team, there's a dream team that does that, and they need help because it's a new team and we're still adding people to it. Maybe it's the one step of you getting serious with God in 2018 and quit playing the game of just showing up at church. But show up and participate. Show up, and I can promise you this, and I said this last year, and nobody called me on it. If you will jump in right now and just participate, show up on Sundays, get in a grow group, get on a dream team, and be a giver, be generous, and tithe. If you'll just follow the basic things and you'll come for a year, if your life is not markedly better January the 7th, a year from now, then I'll give you all your money back and you and I will go find a new church, because we're wasting our time if it's not effective. We're wasting our time if what God says is true and we do it and nothing changes. It does change. It changes lives. So some of you just need to take that one step. Whatever your one step is, that's why it's on the front outside that we say, if you'll take that one step from where you are to where God wants you to be, your life will be different. The fourth one. Some of you, again, this one's hard for us because you've struggled. You've maybe had dreams crushed, but God whispers dreams. He whispers dreams to us. God has put inside of you something you never thought you could do or become. The Bible says in Job 33, 14 and 15, for God speaks again and again through people who what? Though people what? Don't recognize it. He's talking to us, and God does, people, we just miss it. He speaks in a dream. He speaks in visions. Now, my dreams, God doesn't speak to me that way. Normally, when I remember a dream at night, I'm like, I'm probably on NCIS or a cop show, or I'm on a SWAT team raid in a building, or living some dream or some fantasy in my mind that God says, you'll never do, but I'll let you dream about it. That's not how He speaks to me, but maybe it is to you. Maybe He gives you visions in the night. He gives you and begins to show you directions. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. In other words, they're going to hear my voice. Your young men will see vision. I'm going to show them things. And even you old folks, y'all are going to dream some dreams too. He covers the whole thing here. He says, I'm showing you. I'm whispering to you your dreams. And here's my opinion, and I can back this up with Scripture, I think. God's given you dreams. God's given us dreams and visions, and He's whispering and encouraging us to go do them. Not for you, but because it's going to change somebody else's life. It's going to change Sylvania's life. Scriven County's life. I've said this before, and I don't take any credit for it. I just did what I felt like God told me to do. 7 years ago, when God said, I want you to buy some t-shirts for them, go find somebody to help you buy t-shirts. A local businessman gave me some money and said, hey, go buy t-shirts. We went and bought t-shirts, and 7 years later, we have Project 216, which is on pace at the beginning of this school year through the end of the school year to be one of our biggest years ever. That because of your generosity and you joining into my dream, now that God gave me and the vision that God gave me, that when the school calls, and they did a couple weeks ago before Christmas, said, hey, by the way, we got 3 or 4 new kids in, I think, the middle school that aren't being, elementary school. The elementary school that aren't on the list, we don't have any more bags for them. Can y'all take them on? So there are 4 new kids that are going to be fed the rest of the year because of your generosity. Because of us being obedient to change, to follow the vision, to listen to the whisper, to let God use that gift in us to change. Maybe God's whispering your dream to you, and He's telling you, this is on your next slide, to say, go all in. I'm going to be your pastor for a minute. And if you're visiting today, I'm going to be your pastor for a minute. If it's not your home church, go back to your home church and do this. Go all in. Some of you are splashing around in the kiddie pool and just getting your feet wet. And you just need to lay back and just lay down in the water. Some of you just need to trust God. You need to do what I said. Just get on, get with our program. Get with what God's given us. And Sundays and grow groups and dream teams and serve. And the serve team outs that we send out. And the Project 216 packing bags and taking stuff to the schools. Whatever it is, serve. Go all in. Or maybe he's telling you, I'm tired of getting your leftovers. Give me your best. We don't really think about this a lot, but there are a lot of us, and I'm guilty too, we just tip God with whatever we got left. If you go to a restaurant in town, a lot of us, especially if you pay cash, you pull out cash and the bill's, you know, $17 and you got a 20, you just throw the 20 down and say what? Keep the change. I think God's tired of getting our change. He wants our best. He sent us Jesus. He didn't send us his mediocre. The Bible says he sent us his best. That you give God your best. Or maybe he's telling you now that he wants you to use all this to make a difference. It's why it's out on our signs. It's in the foyer. It's actually in the office. So every day when I walk by, I see it. It says that we want our kind of steps and our vision and our dream here is that you know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, that dream that God's put in your heart, and then do what? Make a difference. Make a difference in somebody's life. And my prayer is that we tune in to God's whisper and cut out the other noise. The Bible says in 1 Samuel that Samuel said to God, listen, speak for what? Your servant is listening. That we could check this box, and I put it as a blank for you, that says that God, I'm open to hear. It's not, is he willing to speak? Because we know that. It's, God, I'm willing to hear. And John, the Bible says, this is Jesus again talking, says, listen, my sheep know my voice. I know them, and they do what? They follow me. And then we can check the box. I'm open to hear, and then we check the box. It says, God, I'm eager to obey. I'm eager to respond. I hope that's your 2018. God, I'm open to listen, and I'm eager to respond. If you can do that, and we can hear that whisper of God, then the rest will come. The rest you'll learn. The rest will find out. The rest will discover. And I'm eager to respond, to listen, and obey. Why don't we bow our heads? Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. God, I pray that not in my own heart. God, I say, speak now, whisper now to us. But I ask all of us, are you ready? Are we ready for God to whisper? Are we ready for God to speak softly? Are we to communicate with us? So the question then is, with every head bowed, every eye closed, real quick. Question is, do you know Jesus? So that you can be a vessel where God can begin to speak to you and you can hear his whisper. Or maybe you've known Jesus, you're saved, you're a Christian, but you've walked away. And you've turned around, and you need to turn around and say, God, just forgive me. Start speaking to me. I'm gonna start. And it's not even they start speaking to you. I'm gonna start paying attention to you. If you fit either one of those, real quick, we never end the service without doing this. I say this every week. But if you just need to put Jesus back in his rightful place, just have that moment with God. Just raise your hand and wave at me, real quick, because I want to pray with you. Oh, there's a bunch of hands going up. Then why don't we all pray this together? Say, Lord Jesus, come on, say it like George is winning. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive my sin. Today, I choose you and you alone. Today, I begin to listen for your voice, to listen for your whisper, and then obey. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus for me. I'll follow him every day. In Jesus' name.